We're recording.
Okay, welcome to our school community council meeting on December 7th, 2011. We're just going to turn some time over to Mr. Smith.
Stewart.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I missed last time, and it didn't dawn on me till just now that I thought, man, it seems like forever since we've met, but that's why. I miss it 2 months. And I appreciate what was discussed and what we'll be able to discuss today, but I just had a meeting for the last several hours where we're actually talking about next year, and Mr. Ringer was there, and so he knows. He's still going, what was that? Anyway, and I thought this is a good group to kind of share some of the things that we're thinking about and that we're concerned about, because obviously next year becomes the pivotal year before our split and the new school and all, and where everything kind of comes to a head. We're dealing with numbers that we shouldn't have to deal with, and but that's our reality, and
how many
Westlake's dealing with it. But we are looking at 1,700 students here next year. So we started at 13, we're up to 1,525, and then up to 1,700, and that does not count growth. And so we'll be over 900 seventh graders, just that one grade. It presents a lot of interesting things, especially when you consider that the building is only built for 1,600. And so we'll be over capacity. And we're starting a new math curriculum and a new language arts curriculum and everything that goes with that. And so we, you know, as we were looking at things, we were having to look at, do we even have room in this building to house everybody? The answer is no. We went through the math, and there's just no way that we can do it. I wanted to see if I could get by 1 year, even if we used every classroom, every period, every day, capacity, everything, we're still three teachers short of being able to fit people in. And so I'm going to a meeting tomorrow on capital outlay, making any requests that we need, which now includes trailers, to make that request. And at minimum, I mean, just to be able to use what classrooms we do have, you know, and this is using every teacher's prep period, to have a roaming teacher, which we may have up to 3, 4, 5 roaming teachers who have to just fill in wherever. We need 4 classrooms, so two classroom trailers.
Wow.
At minimum.
Two full trailers?
Yeah. And that goes out on the back here. We've got basketball pads back here that were built for something like that, just in case. I think it's plumbed with electrical and what have you. So, but it's a shame, because, you know, to put that on this brand new nice building, and then for 1 year, you know, and then have to take them out again. But that's kind of what we determined we needed. Gym capacity, we have 2 gyms plus a fitness room plus a dance room. We don't know where we're putting a lot of extra kids. So the orchestra room became our aerobics room for next year for half the time when we're not using it as an orchestra room. And so those, and obviously then we're looking at growth in teachers. So we went last year from 42 teachers to this year was 57.
That's a big jump.
And then next year we'll be in the 60s. You know, we're just, it's a big thing we're having to do. So, you know, we don't know what the growth will be next year. We projected 50. We just put it up to 1750 is kind of the number we're going to deal with until, and it's really the only thing we can do, because we don't know exactly what we'll have. So we're using patterns and you know, who's in seats right now in the sixth grade and whatever, trying to figure out what we're going to do. The one thing we are confident in, however, is that we have the faculty and staff to handle it, and you know, that part won't change. You know, obviously adding new staff is always interesting, because we get so many new people, and then try to train them in our weird ways is always a challenge. But you know, we seem to
our weird
so
ways.
Far a good track record on who we bring in and what we do. So anyway, that's kind of, any questions on that? Because I know I've forgotten the time we met for, that was a 3-hour meeting in just 4 minutes. But do you have any questions, or you taking notes?
I am. You better believe I am.
I know. That was a lot for you.
No. Do you have a projection for the following year as far as?
Well, the following year we would be in the 1,900 to 2,000 range. There's no way for, the board has committed that, you know, next year is our year for that building to be built, and that we'd be ready to move in, hopefully. It won't be like us, where we were in June walking into a nicely done building.
Be more like Westlake?
It'll be tighter than that.
How Westlake
it'll
was.
Be more like Westlake, like Riverview. We're kind of still doing things as you're walking in August.
Will all the children be issued hard hats?
And go through safety instruction.
But then any projection what our numbers would be?
Oh, you mean
after
once we go down?
Split.
Yeah.
Well,
after the split.
Laura does a great job with our projections.
Yeah, she went out to kindergarten, didn't she?
Yeah, we've got projections for another 6 years or something like that. But we should be, and well, okay, and there's some things that
they don't have a boundary yet.
If they're in our, whatever our boundary may be, and we're kind of guessing, we should be around both schools around 1350. Which will be back to where we were last year, and at a much lower rate of growth because we're now two schools.
Well, they have to have a boundary for their school and our school.
But the thing that we're concerned about with that is how parents will feel about their students who are currently seventh graders, next year's eighth graders, who will be our first ninth graders, and if they're, you know, anywhere near this building, even over into the Hidden Hollow area, are they going to want their students to stay here?
Right.
And finish that
so we
third
could be
year.
Higher.
So if they don't close us and they say grandfather everybody in, we could be right where we are next year.
Is that typical for a middle or junior high school? I mean, I know that sometimes to grandfather students in because I know at a high school they've done that for years.
Somebody said at Willow Creek they did that mm-hmm. they let the Lehigh junior kids decide which way they'd go. So a lot of them stayed at Lehigh junior. So there is
precedence of it.
Yes, thank you.
Can I ask a clarifying question really quick?
Yeah.
So they're saying the ninth you're going to continue to send the ninth graders over. Is that what you're saying?
Next
maybe.
Year.
Next year. Okay, so. Yeah. These eighth graders are going, and then
but the seventh graders right now will be our first ninth graders.
The current seventh graders will stay here for ninth
grade. Seventh graders will be eighth grade next year.
Yeah.
And then the next year, when they're supposed to go to Westlake based on what we've been doing, would be the first year we keep our ninth graders, split, send half the student body over to the new school. And
the new school in Eagle Mountain?
The new school.
Okay, so the district is seeing the urgency, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they've seen it for a while.
Yeah, they've been aware of this for a while.
And if you need the budget, right, to be able to hire teachers and take this
Oh, yeah, no. There's no concern about, will I have enough teachers? And I just don't have space.
Which means,
but that will be
they give you a budget to be able to, hire people in.
And that's
sorry, you've got to make do with what you have, or it's less than what you have.
No.
Funding's usually based on pupil, isn't it?
It is based on per pupil, so they give me enough to cover the students. So we'll be fine that way.
So my son, who's in eighth grade, will go to ninth grade.
Yes.
Right.
But the people that will be in eighth grade next year will stay here.
Yes.
Yes. Correct.
And the new school will be built by then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's going to be as soon as they can.
So level 7.
They will break ground
it'll
and
be
get
just
it going.
Like the
as soon as they're able. I know they're already doing infrastructure.
Yeah, they are.
But they will break ground as soon as possible and then move through. So from now until all through next year and into the summer,
they have that. That depended everything. So now they've got the bond.
They did.
Now they've got to do all the submitting and all that stuff. And that just takes time.
Yes,
as soon as they let us
that might concern some of the things we think about.
They did.
With 1,700 students, how is Teal Time going to, is there enough places for them to go and things to do?
Well, you already see that we're going to have some complications.
Yeah.
And we just need to flunk more.
What about lunch?
The area is impacting, obviously the gym, not only the gym space, but the auditorium space.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, 4.0 student activity, things like that.
No, next year we'll have to look at things much differently. How we can't do large group things. We can't take the eighth grade and go do something. We just can't.
Yeah.
So we'll have the assemblies and any big activity that might entail a lot of students, we'll have to plan carefully and might have to do the parts.
Split.
That's fine. I mean, again, those are just, it's just a different way of looking at it, but we'll do it and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
So along with the money, like you were asking, Adana, to do the kids, the space, we'll just work with the space and do what we have to make it work. Teal Time would be different because if you've got a teacher who's sharing classrooms roving, where do they go for Teal Time? Because they're going to classrooms that are already designated for another teacher. Mm-hmm. And so again, you might have to use
cafeteria.
Common space. Yeah, yeah, cafeteria space.
Hallways, maybe.
teacher common areas.
Yeah.
Those yeah, that's like, that wouldn't so be such a bad idea.
So we've got teacher common areas, small. And you might have to split those in two. So, yeah, there's a ton of things to consider this.
Okay.
I'm invigorated by it. It's always a challenge. It's a big puzzle.
What about lunch?
Please don't make me think. That's the one thing I don't want to think about. Actually, what I'll probably do, I mean, they'll just be big. They'll be like B-Day second lunch every day, every lunch.
Do what?
Right now, our B-Day second lunch is, for whatever reason, so imbalanced. It's like first lunch is like a nice social with the kids.
We just kinda,
you know, and then second lunch comes and just slammed. That's what it's going to be like every day, every lunch. And so probably something like inviting the PTA to find volunteers to come in and help us, just to put bodies in the building, you know.
For
it's not going to be horrible. It's just again, managing large numbers for, you know, short periods of time. And we
lunch
just,
we
yeah, I've had students
waiting in line.
I cannot.
They barely get up there. They have 5 minutes. Or
I did that at PG Junior, and it's just
horrendous.
That still makes me tick. You spend your whole day doing lunch.
Yeah,
really.
You're kind of making me feel glad that my son's going to ninth grade in a high school.
I don't want to paint this as this big horrible thing. It's just, it's like this big, it's just seriously a puzzle. It's like, how are we going to do all these things? I don't worry about what they're going to get in a classroom for their education. I'm not worried about whether they're safe or not. It's just more we have to pay attention to.
At Willow Creek, we were close to 2,000 when they split. And that school's not that much bigger than this one.
I need the following students to return to the Bartholomew's room.
Yeah, two trailers. And they were the sixth classroom.
Bronson Cooper, David Hanks, Josh Paul.
If I could get four trailers. If I can get eight classrooms up there,
Cooper,
that would solve
David
everything.
Because,
but I just don't think they'll do it for one year.
Thank you.
Oh. It's,
you know
that
they did it
huge,
for Saratoga Shores.
Did they? In 1 year
they
put that?
Uh-huh. If the need is
I have to go tomorrow and find out.
Possibility of shipping some of these guys to, and seriously, to Willow Creek?
Shipping, yeah.
Adjusting them for a year?
Parents, I don't think, will go for that.
Yeah.
I mean,
but their math program is so much better.
Don't say that. Not even a jest.
Oh. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Write that down.
That was big sarcasm.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, and hopefully, I'm saying this with a smile, all this stuff, so hopefully you don't think I'm like petrified and worried and all that. It's just fascinating to me how quickly this area has grown and the things we have to do. We're a brand new school still, and in our third year we're going to split again.
I
worry about those
KSL
kind of things
reported?
Just with my faculty.
But I heard
did you hear what KSL said? Alpine School District is now the largest district
we made
in the state.
Yes.
Wow.
We were a big part of that.
Yes. They did report that too. They said it's the northern part of the district.
The north
that's
and the
numbers.
Northwest. Congratulations. So, anyway. Where were we?
That was your welcome.
Oh yeah, that was my welcome. Thank you, welcome. No, it's going to be a great challenge, and that's what I was saying. It's just fascinating that we're a new school and already I was thinking about my faculty. I don't want to lose any of them, and yet at some point that's a reality too. I've requested that the new principal for that school be appointed for this next school year and
be here
with me.
Mm-hmm. Like
that's what I did
Westlake.
At Westlake, and you know, I talked to Gary C. Strand and Paul Olson, my supervisor, and you know, presented that idea a few weeks ago, a month
Any
ago.
Any idea who it is?
No, that won't be determined until
yeah.
they're just
March.
Now starting that process,
hiring
and it won't be until
them.
March probably. And I don't know if they'll do that. They might choose not to. It's always a money issue. Everything mm-hmm. is. And that year that I was appointed, it was the first year they'd ever done anything like that. And so it worked out great for me. but,
do we have
you
enough
know,
numbers
it would make a lot of sense because I need help. I mean, when we grow that much, I could use a little more administrative help, a little more counseling help, a little more of the other things like that. They already give me the faculty help with the extra FTE. But if it were that person, that would be a great transition opportunity for the kids too, because especially if you do have kids who've been here for 2 years and then do have to go over there, and I would assume all the city center folks wouldn't go past that school and send them out to us, And so for that transition alone, just to get to know the principal and whatever. Anyway.
Makes sense.
Are they building the high school along with it, or just getting the
No, the high school isn't even on this bond, and so that's another 7 years out, probably. Mm-hmm. Wow. Taking all the ninth graders out of Westlake will help a ton mm-hmm. with their numbers.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, they basically have two junior highs worth of ninth graders over there.
Yeah.
So take that away, and they'll be back to a manageable number and have room for growth again for a number of years. But I would definitely say on the next bond.
When you say two junior highs, what do you...
I'm saying we will be carrying the load for two schools. I mean, we're already sending, you know, our schools over, so that school and this school's worth of ninth graders are over there.
Of ninth graders.
So yeah. We already need to be split. Yeah, just mm-hmm. that was a very unclear thing to say.
You're talking about Willow Creek.
Yeah. No. Sorry. Okay. Well, any other questions, comments, trivia, jokes, riddles? Okay. Apparently last time, and I read the notes, we talked about the fact that we have $7,000 that we need to redistribute in trust lands, and some ideas were put out. One thing I wanted to, great stuff that was discussed, I obviously missed a good discussion. The one thing that did come up, and the reason this list is a little more clarified than everything that was in here, is that we need to be reminded that all trust land money needs to be placed for designated student needs within the school. It can't be for beautification, it can't be for things that are non-academic. And so, you know, we've tried to focus on those items, pulling those out, and came up with these five. Let me explain too some things, and these are my personal, just my offering to you as far as some things to just consider as we're doing this. The most important interaction that occurs at this school or any other school is what happens in the classroom between a teacher and a student. And so the closer we can place any money to that is the best expenditure. Second to that would be anything outside of the school, and I would say the summer activities and things, you know, fewer students, fewer teachers, but still that same instruction. And so, you know, this has come up as a late idea, but it's kind of that same concept. The second thing is that our teachers have, you consider how much time they spend every day in the classroom with the students, have very little time for professional development. The district has done a great job of identifying days, including minimal days, our collaboration Mondays, and a few other professional development opportunities to give the teachers time to develop their own skills. They develop a lot just as they go. They learn a lot in the classroom, or whatever. But unless they do it totally on their own with limited time, don't have a great opportunity to just go hear from great speakers and go to classes and things like that to professionally develop their skills. So that's kind of a secondary area that I feel strongly about, that if we can provide that, whether it's in the summer or during the school year when we can break them away with subs to go get training. And that's why the literacy conference is on there. And that was discussed, and I had asked that to be input, because every year there's a major conference that's up in Salt Lake. Literally thousands of teachers come, and some of these folks have already been, and I've gone every year with a group of teachers. In fact, I probably take more than any other principal, just because I'm committed to the fact. Every other year, it's a leadership principal where they learn leadership, and that was last year. And this year's the literacy, and they just rotate those two. My quest was to take the entire English department to this literacy conference, plus somebody from each of the other departments, just one person. District special ed is paying for one of our special ed teachers to go. And CTE is two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'll be taking more then. So CTE, and that's how committed the district is to this kind of conference as well, and opportunity. So anyway, so some of the possible actions on this one were, we looked into the Rosetta Stone at cost minimum of $10,000 to start up. Y-Tri is a small expenditure of $500, and that is a program within the counseling department. Mm-hmm. Directed at kids who have basically given up on school or don't know why it's important. And basically, they're asking why try, why bother. And I've used this program before in my schools, and it's very effective. If this group does not approve this here, I will find money elsewhere to do that. So just so you know, that will be done within the school, but it just depends on where that's going to be paid from. Then there's the summer school, which basically summer school is usually funded through the students. It's kind of a fee opportunity, so there's not a lot of expenditure there, but it is for the teacher time, and the amount that we charge the students does not cover the teacher time, basically. Most of the time it's about a $25 per class fee. Sometimes we'll return a portion of that if they complete it. That's their motivation, especially for parents who say, I want that $20 back. So, you know, you pay $25 if you finish. If the student finishes, they get $20 of it back. And anyway, and we haven't even gotten that far into discussing how that would actually work. But we do need a number of teachers to be involved in the summer school. Summer activities is an idea that came up kind of in tandem with summer school, which would mean we have a lot of kids who don't have a lot of activities that they're necessarily involved in. Either parents don't have time, or they work and they can't get them there, or they don't have the money. And so we thought, along with summer school, we could provide various activities that go on at the school, whether they be sports related or activity related, something. We haven't even gotten that far either to determine what that would be. That a lot of input would come from here and from PTA and what have you.
Steve.
Yes.
This also came up because we were talking about this at lunch and how schools back east every summer send kids to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were thinking we could send them to San Francisco, L.A., you know, Holocaust museums and all kinds of stuff that they're busable from here. Mm-hmm. So as an extension of that, but it would be academically related also.
Right. Paul was talking about the opportunity to have an advanced band, summer opportunity. You know, there's that downtime, that lull, where some of our groups don't, you know, necessarily practice maybe, but they don't have that, you know, concert kind of opportunity. And anyway, there's other opportunities to get these kids involved in various activities. And then the literacy conference. So the literacy conference, sending up to 13 at 250, what did I didn't write it.
3352.
Oh, 3350. Oh, 3250. I did my math.
32.
Oh,
32.
Okay. So 3250. Summer school. I didn't have time to do that. Do you remember what this teacher stipend is, or what the hourly amount?
Is it 29?
Is it 29?
Like 27.50,
something like that.
Okay. So it's in the. I mean, just round it to $25, $30, something like that, an hour. We'd want to do that for the month of June, probably, and maybe even into July, so 4 to 6 weeks. So you can imagine if we did that daily and we had, and again, not knowing exactly what we would offer and how much, so we kind of have to create a ballpark for that and then just try to hit within that, but probably up to four teachers. One for each core, maybe a couple more additional, so maybe six. And so if that's, and you're doing that for a couple hours a day for each?
Four.
What's that?
Probably four hours.
4 hours. So 24 hours each day. Oh, sorry. Thank you. That's a lot. We don't have enough.
But if you charge the students half of that.
Yeah, actually. It comes to about, that was for 1 month for those six teachers, $14,000. And so if we do charge, and again, the number of students, we don't know how many will be involved, but right. If we do charge and do apply that toward it.
You said four teachers.
I said six. Oh, okay. Sorry. I mean, I said four for the core and then a couple of others, four other activities. You know, so basically knowing that we don't have enough to do that, we can designate any amount toward that, and then I would have to look at other ways to fund it. And that's the thing I want to make sure you understand. It's not about can we afford to do that here. We can. I just need to know how much is designated here. Then I can look for other avenues to try to make up the difference or to help students make up the difference.
Have you done summer school before?
Me personally?
I know you have personally.
Oh.
But has Vista Heights?
Oh, no. We didn't do it last year.
So this would be a new program.
This would be new, yeah. And that's, you know, not knowing how it's going to go, that's why this is kind of, I'd like to see how it goes, to try it. And I don't know what the student's response will be. It's going to be in the cell, you know, how the teeth, how do you make students come? I mean, you've got to really work with the parents to have them.
Especially where most of them are bused. Right. That'd be a big, getting the students here.
What's the possibility of busing in summer?
It's fine, but again, it's another $7,000.
What if you mean like a camp instead, like a science camp or a math camp or something like that, where it's like a couple weeks long and you're teaching. I would send my son and I would bring him and pick him up.
The activity part, I don't think we'll have a problem. That would be how it'd probably look. The activity part would be probably a couple week camp style activity. It's the reason for the core classes and some of the others is for credit remediation. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get them to pass classes that they failed during the year so that they're ready for high school. Without our credit carrying over, that's where we lose some of the motivation for kids to want to, or even parents sometimes will say, well, you know, we'll just make it up later.
I thought that they had said that no matter what grades you had, you could move on.
You can. Doesn't you, mean you can't.
Make you can. Them. Right. There's nothing. That's what I'm saying.
We don't really.
I'm saying there's no teeth in us saying you have to go to summer school. We want kids to come to summer school to make up lost credit, which technically they haven't lost because it doesn't apply to what they're doing later. Right. Now, when we have ninth graders here, it's going to be a different thing.
We're also looking at including the sixth graders coming in.
Right.
So those that are failing sixth grade, then they can come in better prepared for seventh grade.
Right. So it's preloading for the sixth graders. It's saying, okay, you struggled in math, so we're going to provide a math opportunity, not to make up credit, but to get you ready for your experience here at Vista Heights.
Okay.
So basically we're looking at our this year's sixth and seventh graders being involved.
Well, we could offer for eighth grade because they can do credit.
Well, yeah, credit recovery.
Yeah. Or, if a student is failing, if he's an eighth grader, failed pre-algebra, he's got nowhere to go. He's got to go down.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So yeah.
He's going to need help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're trying to offer, and we're hoping parents will see, because it's going to be, they're the ones who are going to have to put teeth in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
no way we can, and the student isn't going to have any, well, some might have some intrinsic motivation, but anyway. All right, any thoughts on all of this?
When does the decision have to be made?
Well, if we go with the summer stuff, it doesn't have to be today because obviously that's not going to be spent until after the school year's out. The literacy conference is in April, and I need to send in the registrations in probably late February.
So the Rosetta Stone is basically out, is that what you're saying?
Well, at 10,000 and we have 7 and we're trying to go out. It's not, something with all of this. It's probably the one that has the least impact on the students. And
can I mention something though? I mean, because I've used Rosetta Stone, I'm not thrilled with it, mm-hmm. but I've used other programs that are much cheaper there that I feel are better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
maybe there's something else.
And they probably need to look at those. Mm-hmm. This is the only one that was offered up though.
And that came from the community council from Harvest, they call me.
Oh, really? And Harvest is the one that has the Spanish immersion. So.
Okay. And they have Rosetta Stone and then the high school.
Yeah, Harvest and Westlake both jumped in on it. And by the time they got to me, it had gone up so much in price, mm-hmm. I didn't have anywhere to dig it. For me, it was going to be like 17,000 at the time for me to get in full blown. I mean, I don't know what this 10,000 represents. I can't imagine.
That's just the license or something.
Yeah, and so there's a lot more to it that if you get in as a school, you're going to pay a lot more than that. So, yeah.
Being a little bit of an outsider and not having a student at this school, what language opportunities are available here?
We have ASL,
okay.
We have Chinese. And we have Spanish.
Okay, that's it.
That's
okay.
Three languages. It's usually Spanish, French, and German.
Right.
We tried the French and German last year and
didn't fly.
So the students didn't like it.
Yeah, they were just there were no signups for them.
Oh.
Couldn't keep them afloat. The French and German were, I had three periods total. As soon as I added.
I just have to tell you, the women in my neighborhood are just aghast. They don't understand why there isn't French and German. Yeah. So that's surprising
to
me.
Well, and my recommendation is going to be when the new schools open is that they do French and German and have us do Chinese and ASL. And that and what it provides is magnet opportunities. If there's people who feel very strongly about taking Chinese and they live in the other boundary, they could come here and do that, and vice versa. Yeah. So it does at least provide that opportunity. There is precedence for that as well. Not necessarily at the junior high all the time, but in high school for sure. And you know, we may look at that as an option, at least keep it in the area. Okay. But yeah, and for those traditionalists who just know that those are the three that have been taught since time immemorial.
It was just interesting. I was just curious.
Well, believe me, that was a tough decision. But it were three classes total in the two languages. And as soon as I added ASL and Chinese, I had 10. I had a full ASL, and the Chinese is going crazy. I'm going to need more next year. And now Westlake's going to open up Chinese.
That's crazy.
You probably heard that Riverview now is starting next year.
They're doing Chinese immersion.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we have a theater school that will be feeding us Chinese language students.
Wow.
Yeah. There's one other.
Yes, it does.
Some of the in Orem. I can't remember the school name. Darn it. One of the elementary schools in Orem already has a Chinese immersion. Mm-hmm. And. So they've had good experience there. So now one of our schools is going to do it. It's a different world.
Yes.
So good question about, you know, do we have to do this now? No. And if you feel like none of these things are imminent, and so it's not like, you know, we have to decide now. And if you feel you need more time to kind of talk to neighbors and think about it yourself and such, you know, we certainly don't have to do that. And that could be on the table as well, just to say, let's just wait until January. But by January, certainly our next meeting, we would need to make a decision on this.
Do we have money, like future money, that could go towards summer school and that type of thing, and we could use the money now for the literacy conference and the White Tri, and then work on the summer activities with future money?
I had that question too, because I don't know what the deadline is for expenditures, and I don't know if we're on a July 1 to or June. What is it? What's the fiscal calendar?
Is it July
1
to
June
1st,
isn't it?
Huh?
It's July
1st. That's okay. So that's it, July 1st to June 30th. Yeah. And so I think that's how this money is. And so we'd have, you know, into the summer to take care of it, so we can do that. I don't know if I can then take money for next year and back pay for activities that were started during this year.
Gotcha.
I could try to find out. and it really is just right there on the cusp of that.
But if we held summer school in July.
What would be the likelihood of kids coming back in July?
Probably as likely as in the first
year. Good point.
Truth be told, I actually get more kids for the summer program when I hold it in July than I do when I get pulled in June.
Really?
Do they have a break?
Is June kind of the time where everybody just does vacation, gets out of it,
run away.
Then they get tired of their kids and say, get them back?
Well, and if we do both of those, it still leaves $3,000 plus to maybe put toward some of those things. That's just a suggestion, maybe. I mean, those are things we know are there. We know how much they cost, and these kind of seem a little bit
nebulous. And it is hard until they actually sign up and everything. We don't know what programs will carry, what kids will require, so it is a little bit of a...
Can I ask another question? As you're planning summer school or summer activities, is that something where you could take a look at what budget's available and then decide what activities you wanted to do with that budget, or is that something that you plan first and then find budget for?
Yes. You know, you can do it both ways, actually. Yes, both. I see it going both ways. I would want to offer, just initially, something in each core area, plus the others that we determine would be probably a draw for kids. I mean, we'd have to kind of determine ahead of time. We could do a survey of kids and say, you know, if you had a summer opportunity and we did something to school and here's an idea of things, you know, what would you do? Or can you throw something out? Give us an idea of things you would want to do that you'd be interested in. We could do something like that to try to narrow it down to what would likely be, it would carry.
I'm just trying to think outside the box here.
Well, and that's what we're about right now. There's another comment I had and I can't remember. Any other questions or comments while I'm thinking?
Oh, the library did mention that CTE, do you teach CTE? Mm-hmm. Was interested in flip phone or flip cameras for projects that you're doing?
Was it? Because we have flip cameras.
I didn't say.
I thought they said it was they another had department, wasn't it? Rent them or something.
The ASL class wanted to do. Oh, okay. They were getting some from the district to do project. But we already have.
The district has a set of them.
Yeah
that's what they were
when,
saying
when
that
we
they
can,
have to get
yeah,
them from
things
the district.
We can check out and things. I know we did get flip cameras for a class in CTE, so mm-hmm. it may have been something that we did before, and then I got them.
She just suggested that. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to bring out our time, but, you know, literacy conference, I've been to lots of conferences and, you know, in my profession and so forth, and they're one day or a week, and they get you all jazzed up, but it doesn't mean everybody implements them. For instance, I'll just throw in, like, if you went to a weight conference, you could go and you can learn how to lose weight, do all these different things, but then...
It's,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. And that's...
But I'm encouraging because I know that they do help. I mean, they right. can take one concept and then it can roll into something huge.
And that's
so,
right. That's what I look at. And when I look at a conference anymore, I used to try to say, okay, I have to take all of it, digest it somehow, and make all these changes. And really, the conference is about finding that one thing that might help you become, you know, the best teacher you can be and to pass that on. The reason I take a large group is because it gives them the opportunity to find things that are of specific interest to them, because there's tons of options.
Right.
But also to cover all of the things that are taught there to bring back to the school. Anybody who goes, when we pay money for them to go, I put it on them to bring it back and to make reports to their teams, their departments, to the school as a whole, and they become available as
resources.
A resource, yeah.
Is it a week or is it just
it's
2 days.
It's 2 days.
It's 2 days, okay.
I'm really, it's gone. Yeah. So they have a keynote speaker on a Wednesday night, then they have an all day Thursday, all day Friday. And so, yeah, there's some of it, you know, how, yeah, you've been, so you know, sometimes it's just stuff and, you know, it sounds good initially and then it turns out not to be quite what you thought it was, but by getting that coverage and the potential for having good things brought back. And
do you think that this is worth spending the school money on? I mean, I can see that you really believe in it. Where I drag my heels a little bit, but I want to support you too. Yeah. If you think it's really important, you think these people are gonna...
See, I used to avoid these conferences, specifically these, because I had the same feel. I thought, you know, it's a couple days off, it's a lot of time away from kids, until I went to one. In fact, 4 years ago, the leadership conference that I went to was the one that convinced me to start my doctoral program. I mean, I just right there, I just went, man,
see,
this is...
See, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Yeah.
And it impacted
like
me
that.
Personally, and so I realized that it was the approach that I took at that time, and it was that personal kind of, okay, what can I get out of this? And there was that one big piece that came out instead of looking at the entire thing. And it was the next year that I took my first big group, and every time they came back, they were very energizing. I know you're saying, well, yeah, they come back for a while, and get that, but if I do it right, and it really is up to me to make the requirements for anybody who goes. It's not just a couple days off. This is about you learning something first, and that's why I'm taking the language arts department to this one, because it's very, very specific to them, but also others, because for us, language arts is taught across all curriculum. And so
well, and I think, too, where he's taking a whole department, we have collaboration Mondays. If everyone goes and experiences the same thing, it's going to allow for that, you know, enthusiasm to continue.
Yeah,
and,
they will. I know that they will take that information.
Well,
especially as we're getting ready for
the
new core.
Yeah.
We
have
our
new
core
coming. And so even right now, we're trying to make plans for what it's going to look like in the next couple of years. And so something like this, I feel like, could really
it's a new start.
It gives them the momentum. It gives them
to start with
a lot of material information.
Where you're all on the same page too.
Right.
So,
and that's what I expect from them. Be taking a department like that, they're going to have the forum to continue the discussion on that for the rest of this year into next, I hope. Okay. You know, and if they all go to different things, they'll all bring something back, and this faculty is about, you know, when they have a book to read or something that I've given them, they assign those things out. They do different little lessons in their collaboration time, and they're good with that. And so, yeah, yes, as far as, am I comfortable with the expanded? Yes, I am, absolutely. I've done it now for 4 years, 3 years, and yeah, I'm sold on that.
Can I make a suggestion? Mm-hmm. We've been discussing this $7,000 for a few months now, and I don't think we're going to come up with anything new. Can I make a motion?
Sure.
So that we can move on and start in January talking about the next year's funding?
Yeah.
Is that all right? I make a motion that $3,250 be spent towards the literacy conference to send teachers to that, and then the remaining $3,750 to be spent towards summer school and summer activities.
One second. You're supposed to do that.
Make the motion.
No, ask for a second.
Is there a second?
I'll second. Can you say, is there any further discussion?
Is there any further discussion? Did we want to do Y-Try? I mean, just to throw that
out there.
Because of the amount there, that's not a significant amount. I mean, you could actually take the 500 out of 3750, but I was willing to do that, and so I already told them today.
I just don't want that to get overlooked, because it is such a little thing we could easily.
Yeah, I'll take care of that.
Okay, then if there's no further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I guess the motion passed.
Well done.
Okay. Well, great. We don't have to
talk about it. What's
our next meeting?
The next meeting is January 4th. We want to do it that.
Do you want? Okay. Now that's a question I had. The next one would be January 4th, which is 2 days after we come off, and we will not have had
anything new
or anything.
Wait till
the option is to wait till February and just do it then. Which, if we hit February, we got February, March, and April to work on the next year's expenditures, which means start looking at, by that time, all the data. And maybe that'll give me January to kind of look at the first semester data and get you that so we kind of know where we're at. So I would offer that idea that maybe we don't meet until February.
February 1st.
Is it February 1st?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's February 1st.
Let's do that.
Does that require a motion?
No,
but I'm still going to second.
That's good. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your input and your ideas. This is always very valuable to me. I appreciate the obvious interest you have in the success of our school, which we as a faculty and administration and staff feel from parents. And this is one of the great opportunities that we have to kind of get those two groups together. So thank you for your service and your time and everything you bring to the table.
Yeah, thank you.
It's all yours.
Okay, well, we're done. So we'll see you in February. We're adjourned.
Take treats on your way out.
Yes, please take treats. Yes.
Absolutely. February 4th.
Steve, can I borrow your ear for an extra moment?
As long as you return, but yes.
I'm not going to leave the building with it. How's that?
Okay.
Oh, no. I've just been chair a few times at Eagle Valley, so I,
with this information
I've got 6 years experience
discussed today, how would you like me to assist you?
I'm glad you asked. I was going to grab you anyway.
Okay.
I'm not sure because I don't know how the district committee council works that way. But, you know, what you talk about, whether it's that specific about the individual school.
I can't. My experience, like I said, I'm new to this also, but is that they give us an opportunity to grab the items on the next agenda to discuss what's happening in our community, struggles, needs.
Yeah, because we were going to go to the German place where they have.
As a DCC, we don't necessarily do any voting or anything like that, but it's an opportunity for the school board to hear what's going on in our community. I know Paula is very concerned.
That'll be fine.
Thank you so much.
She feels that we're on the right track. I seem to agree with her. I hope.
But I will give them a hard time for going to Disney.
Like can I put in just one second? I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate you. I really like you. I support you. I think you're amazing. And I hope you
have
a happy holiday.
Here's the big but. Oh, there was no but on that?
No, just a happy holiday.
Thank you so much. That was so nice.
I really do. I appreciate you.
Thanks. You too.
Paula's not necessarily one of the school board members that goes to the DCC meetings, although she gets to see all the notes.
Mm-hmm.
So the way Paula works with me is, okay, tell me what I need to know. And we do have long, lengthy conversations. I know that she's been worried about that new principal at Saratoga and some things of,
really?
You know, yeah.
Interesting. See, I don't know what's going on, so
well, I don't think it's anything really. I mean, I think she just saw. I mean, she's known Glenn for how long?
Right.
And then she sees this transition, and she knows transitions are hard, and wanted to know, are parents in an uproar? Are they calm? Is this a good thing? Is this a, you know? And, you know, at the beginning of the school year, nobody quite knows yet, you know? And so she's kind of using me as an earpiece, so to speak, as to what's going on. And, when we met at the first of the year, I took your concerns to her, and she took those to Vern, because she felt a little alarmed by, you know, especially your safe route and everything
like
that.
That's what I thought.
What was it? I don't think you had anything else really of concern at that point. But, you know, she knows that her area is the one having the most impact here.
Sure.
And she has really asked that her DCC members really speak up.
Okay.
And so I'm ready to put the pedal to the metal. So I just need to know what information or concerns or whatever would you like presented to the board, so to speak. Because as a DCC, we make recommendations to the board is basically our role.
Right.
This is what's going on in my community. This is what my community wants to see. These are what the principals and the SCCs are discussing.
When you present it, do you present it as my principal said he'd like this, or do you just say here's some concerns that I would like to present as generic? Because here I'll tell you why. Because
yeah.
I know I can trust you. And you conversations you and I have would be, you know, five conversations that would